Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. Again, remember tonight, Pastor's going to be talking about the mark of the beast. But today we're going to be talking about who is God. Who is God? And we're going to use John chapter 3. We're going to use a very familiar verse this morning to set the story up for us. And then we're going to be doing some page turning today as we get going along here. Who is God? Let's read this verse and let me get there, because I'm still on my Sunday school part in the book of James. Silence is awkward sometimes. But John chapter 3 and verse number 16, it says this. As soon as I get there, bear with me, one more page. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Let me stop right there. Let's read this together, folks. John 3:16, all together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen to that. Let's pray. Lord, it's time for us now to get serious in your word. Lord, I pray this morning as I begin to show your folks of who you are this morning, I pray that you would just use me this morning to be able to speak to their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for showing me who you are. And so, Lord, as we rehearse these things, maybe there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know who you are. And God, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would begin to do the work that needs to be done in the life of that individual, whether it be a man or a woman, or a young person. And God, I pray that whoever it is, that they would not leave here accepting you as Lord and Savior. Lord, it is our desire to see folks to come to know you as Lord and Savior. So, God, I pray for that this morning. Use me. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Who is God? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to begin to see who God is in our life. It says in verse number 17, chapter 17, verse number 1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Who is God? God is the Almighty God. So as I begin to sit here for just a little bit, I'm going to remind you this morning that we do not serve a wimpy God. We don't serve a God who cowers in the corner. We don't serve a God who gets scared when things begin to happen. We serve a God who is a mighty God. Today we are captivated with men of great strength. All of us are. We get enthralled with those things and we get excited when we begin to see men that have great strength. But let me tell you this. There is no man who has the strength that God has. God is a mighty God. Today we serve a God who is so powerful, as you read in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, he literally spoke the world into existence. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to see how powerful God is in these verses. It says in verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So let it be a reminder to you this morning how mighty our God is, and that is he literally created, he literally spoke everything into existence. And God could have done this at one given time, but God chose to take several days to do this. So God created the heavens and the earth. Well, why is that so important? Because look at here, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Then God goes on in verse number 3, and we begin to see the power of God. We begin to see his might even more. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." God doesn't stop there. He begins to go on with his might. God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Again, let's continue to go on and begin to see the mightiness of God. Remember, he created, he spoke things into existence. Verse number 9 says, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruits whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God goes on, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl, that may fly upon the earth in the firmament, in the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, I'm going to stop just real quick, because I'm going to just brag about God's greatness right here, his power, his might. The other day, yesterday to be a matter of fact, I went out hunting with my brother and my nephew, and we occasionally do those things, and honestly, I've taken some time off for that. I haven't done this in years. And Jeff has asked me the last few years, Jordan's asked me the last few years to do these things. And honestly, I just didn't have the time, or I didn't really have the desire to do so. But I was asked once again this year, and I decided, you know what, it's time to do those things once again. And I like those things because it brings memories back to my mind as being back in the old station wagon, going down the road hunting, and Dad killing a bird, which we thought he killed, but he didn't kill because it was jumping in the back of the seat later on. And those memories come to my mind, and begin to rehearse those things. But yesterday was such a beautiful day. It truly was. And as we're hunting for these birds that are just beautiful in nature, we're hunting pheasants, and they're beautiful birds. A lot of folks don't know this, but pheasants are the Chinese turkey bird over there. And that's how we got these birds. But we were going about, but we saw something that Jeff and I saw a few weeks ago that we saw even more yesterday. As God's talking about creation here of the winged fowls, we're able to see four beautiful bald eagles. Those things are just captivating to watch. And we stopped, and they're taking pictures, and we're just looking at them. We're talking about how beautiful they are. And the reason why we're talking about how beautiful they are, because we know we serve a mighty God. God spoke those things into existence. We're able to see God's creation. We're able to see his power there. The other day, I was also looking through some videos. I like looking at creation, not creation, I wasn't there for that, but I like looking at what God created. And I began to see this massive blue whale. I mean, this thing's huge, just coming up to the surface to do whatever it needed to do. They said it was feeding, but I didn't see any food. I began to see the massive size of this whale. I'm thinking to myself, God created that thing. God gave that life. God is powerful. And as we move on, it says in verse number 22, it says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Why am I taking time to rehearse this? Because God is a mighty God. He's so powerful, he's so mighty that he spoke this world into existence. He took us from the dust of the earth to create man. He took the rib of the man to create woman. God is a mighty God. He isn't only an almighty God, but turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 19. The book of Leviticus chapter 19. Do it like me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you'll find it. Sometimes that's what I have to do to save any time from going back into the directory. Because some people don't know where the directory's at. It gets confusing. But in verse number 1 of chapter 19, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying to them, Ye shall be holy for this reason right here. For I, the Lord, your God, am holy." We don't only serve an almighty God, but we serve a holy God who knew no sin, who knows no sin, and has never sinned, nor does he tempt man to sin, because he is a holy God. Turn your Bibles again back to John chapter 3, verse number 16. As we begin to go through this verse just a little bit, John chapter 3, verse number 16, your finger should already be there. But let's read this verse again, because not only do we see that God is a mighty God, that God is a holy God, but we're also going to see that God is a loving God. It says, "For God so loved the world," so loved the world. What did he do that he loved us so much? Well, the verse doesn't stop there, because not only do we see that he is a loving God, but because of his love, he did this. It says that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son for us, to us, so that we can have eternal life with him. It goes on, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is a loving God. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll read verses 7 through verse number 12. You've often heard me quote this as I pray. "Lord, we love you for this reason." Quote it with me. "Because you first loved us." God is a loving God. We have no idea of how to love if it wasn't for God. So let's read on in verse number 7 down to verse number 12. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Again, our theme has been for a few months now, the importance of loving each other. But it says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Another verse for John 3:16, that he quoted this here. Verse number 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We only love because God first loved us. Despite rejection that he faced, he still loves. Well, what rejection has God faced? Let me tell you about the Israelites, God's chosen people. God's chosen people had rejected him. But yet, because of their rejection, God still loves them. He has not stopped loving them. A false God will never be able to demonstrate the love that God has for us. His love draws him to compassion, to where he heals the blind. His love causes him to have the deaf to hear. His love has caused him with compassion to move upon the dumb who could no longer speak and gave them a voice. And his love drew him to compassion to heal the leprous man. You know, leprosy back in the day, people didn't want to have any part of them. They didn't want to be associated with them. They would cast them out of the city into a place of not being wanted by anybody. But I tell you who wanted them, and that was God. God would cleanse them. God would heal them. God's love would also feed the hungry. And God would give the water to quench their thirst. See, God is love. And with that being said, we can't even begin to understand the love of God. But I will say this, I'm thankful this morning that He loves you and that He loves me. God is love. He is a giving God, as I just rehearsed back here in John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? His precious, holy, righteous Son. His only Son that He ever had. He gave Him to us. Why did He give us Jesus? Because it goes back to Him loving us. As I said this morning in our Sunday school class, because of His love, because He is giving, He gives us mercy. He gives us mercy. You know, we don't deserve mercy, but God gives it to us. Not only does He give us mercy, but He also gives us grace. Again, He gives us grace when we don't deserve it. But because of His love, turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 14. Because of His love, He gives us something else. John chapter 14, Jesus here is talking to the disciples. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, to be honest with you. Verse number 1, as He's talking to them, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Not only does He show us His love through His mercy, through His grace, through His many other acts that he shows to us, but He also shows His love to us in this matter, and that is giving us a home with Him. There's a reason why we say and sing a song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Why do we sing that song? Because this world is not our home. We have this hope in Him because He's given us this home. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Because of His love, He gives forgiveness. He gives forgiveness. Many times throughout the Bible, God has forgiven when asked. There's nothing too big, there's nothing too small for God to forgive. But however, there is a difference between forgiveness and repentance. Peter experienced true repentance. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Just back a few pages, the book of Luke, chapter 22. Verse number 61 through 62. We've often read of this story quite a bit. We ridicule Peter for what took place in his life at this point in time. The Lord told him that He was going to deny Him thrice. Peter said, "No, Lord, that's not so. I'm not going to deny You. I love You. I'm going to stick by Your side." But in verse number 61 through 62, it says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said in him, 'Before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny Me thrice.'" Verse number 62, Peter does this. It says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." That weeping bitterly was Peter being really repentant of his life for what he had done. A child of God has been forgiven of these things, past, present, and future. With that being said, that does not give us a license to sin. Most people say, "Hey, I'm saved. I got God's grace and He's forgiven me in my past, present, and future, so I have the liberty to go out and do whatever I want." And that's not the case. It does not give us a license to sin. But what that is doing is abusing the grace of God. Repentance is a turning away from that very sin that is keeping us from having a proper relationship with God. The other thing that I see that who God is as we go through this, and you folks might not see this, but I see this, but there are times where God forgets. I'll explain this. With God forgetting, meaning a memory loss, true forgiveness and repentance brings about God's memory loss. I'll explain a little bit further. When you seek forgiveness of what you've been done, here's what he does. He throws them behind his back as far as the east is from the west and never brings them up again. He forgets about them. Doesn't bring them to your recollection, doesn't bring them back to your knowledge. He doesn't rehearse them. They're done with. He is forgiven. Who is God? What does he mean to you? Do you love him with all your heart? Do you cherish him? Do you treasure him? Do you have a desire to love him the way that he loves you? Do you have a desire to give to him the way that he has given to you? Do you love him the way that he loves you? Have you given and surrendered your life to him? The last thing that we will deal with this morning, who is God? And this one really gets me. God is faithful. God is faithful. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 1. And I'm using this verse to help me create this here. It says, if we say that we have no sin, in verse number 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, what's the next three words? He is faithful. We serve a faithful God today. You know, as I begin to think about this, we haven't been so faithful to God in our lives, have we? There have been times in our lives where we've walked away from God, we've given up on God, we've served other gods, we've forsaken him, we've served the world, but yet God has always been faithful to us. But he says he'll never leave us either, nor forsake us. No matter how ugly we become because of sin, he is there with us. There's nobody more stable, there's nobody more faithful than the God that we serve. I'm thankful today that we serve a faithful God who's never left us, who's never turned his back on us, who's never walked away from us. But can we say that about our relationship with him? In those hard times where it's easy for us to quit, sometimes we say, you know, now is not the time to be faithful to God. We say those things. I'll be honest with you, I say those things. I struggle with those things. But God is faithful to us. God deserves us to be faithful to him. In life, we lose friends. We remove ourselves from family members. But God is always there for us. God is always faithful. Write this down as I begin to close. We have sold God short. What do I mean by that? We have limited him. And we forget who he truly is. So let me be a reminder of you this morning who God is. To give you these things once again. God is mighty. God is powerful. God is holy. God is a loving God. God is a giving God. God is a forgiving God. God is a God who forgives and forgets our sins. And God is a faithful God who is always there with us. And I can't thank him enough for his faithfulness. And we need to thank God for being a faithful God that he is to us. Let's stand and have ourselves a word of prayer. And I know this message is short, but I believe sometimes shortness is better than the length at times. If God has spoken to your heart in some way, shape, or form this morning, whether it be through Sunday school or whether it be through this message this morning, and you know that you might need to make some things right with God, I'm going to give you the chance to do so in these next few moments. As I pray and I begin to say amen, please make your way to the altar if God's spoken to you. Maybe it's something that you haven't we haven't touched on. Maybe you haven't fallen a baptism. You need to get baptized. Maybe there's church membership that you haven't fallen in church membership. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's yet to come to know the Lord as a Savior. We really want to deal with these matters this morning. So if God has spoken to you in those ways, here's the time to do these things. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the God that you are, for the one who loves, forgives, who is faithful. But God, I didn't give one of the most important ones of all, the one who teaches. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word that we're able to have every single day. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who needs salvation, if there's someone here this morning who's wanting to join a church, or if there's someone here this morning who needs to get baptized, Lord, I pray that your will be done in these next few moments. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.